Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 760. We are in the midst of the most exciting campaign in pro sports, but enough about the World Cup of Hockey. I'm Rick Morris. I'm here today with Kyle Ross to talk about the NFL regular season. It's NFL Week 3, and we've got a full slate of 16 games yet again. This week, looking forward to better success, hopefully. I was 7-9 last week, 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock, putting me at 13-19 for the year, and I'm lucky to be at that, folks. 2-4 on my big three, 0-2 on my locks. Kyle last week at 3-3, 6-5 for the year, still profitable. My man is going to be feeling it this week. I know that will be the case.
So like I was saying before we were cut off by the show open, when we were talking up here, I really think Gene Kiniski is the referee ruined that Ric Flair Harley Race title match at the first Starcade.
I've only watched up to Piper Valentine on Starcade 83, so don't ruin it for me.
Okay. Gene Kiniski is the worst special guest referee you have ever seen in your entire life. I will guarantee you that.
Kiniski,
that's my best bet. That's my best bet of the week. Gene Kiniski, worst special ref of all time.
Gene Kiniski is to special refereeing as Smith Hart is to opining about wrestler deaths, apparently. So, you know,
oh,
we can go off the rails.
Yeah.
We can go off the rails on that one. But on the NFL here this week, another very interesting slate, Kyle Ross.
Yes, absolutely. I've got a strategy. I hope it pays off. That strategy, spoiler, is going to be taking a lot of 0-2 teams getting points. Because what, are they going to lose every game?
Well, it's got to end sometime, folks. The Kyle Ross theory in a nutshell, as we move into NFL Week 3.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've been taking – that's my problem. That's my problem why I'm only 6-5 for 2 weeks, Ricky. I've been taking too many good teams. You know, I've been betting on too many good teams laying points. I had too many favorites last week. I don't think – I have a – oh, no, I do have – I think there's one favorite. No, two. I have two again. But they're uglier favorites.
Yeah.
Very short, too. So let's
rock
and roll,
man. The irony is – the irony of cross-pollination. I've been moving a little more in your direction. You've been moving a little more in my direction. And neither one of us is gaining from it. I don't know what's going on there. But it's bound to pick up at some point. Again, I have no feel for this.
I'll see you in our long journey
like
to the middle
week.
Again, Ricky.
I hate this card. Just like last week, I have no feel for it. I feel like Helen Keller here trying to perceive what's going to happen in these 16 games this week. I am that helpless.
Helen Keller's still okay?
I'll tell you. Well, you know, 4 years under Killery, and maybe that won't be the case, but, you know, still a semblance of a free country, Kyle Ross.
I knew that'd get
you.
You know, this world's just a little too politically correct, you know. We need to get rid of political correctness. That'll turn everything around. What a shitty take.
Well, I'm going to eviscerate a bad take in the first game that we have here. Thursday night game, we'll gloss over it as per usual because this is going up not long before showtime. 2-0 Houston at 2-0 New England, 8:25 Eastern time from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on CBS and the NFL Network. Nance Sims and Wolfson on the call. Houston is now getting a point. It had been Houston -1.5 at the open. Just the fact that this line is what it is. I understand what it is because you've got New England down to, like, their fourth-string janitor at quarterback. I understand all of this, but the bad take on all of this, and I'm going to keep coming back to this until I'm proven right, Houston is not the team that the odds makers and apparently the public think they are. They're a good team, okay? They're getting way too much respect in the lines. I understand they've covered the last couple of weeks. They've maybe looked bad a few times. But I have a few picks that I'm just calling my teenage rebellion picks, okay? You can't make me. You can't make me believe the Texans are as good as Joe Blow and Las Vegas thinks they are. You can't make me believe that. I'm on New England tonight.
Wow, real sharp professional play there from Rick Morris. No more road favorites. Oh, wow, okay.
They actually opened as high as 2.5. That was gobbled up pretty quick. I'm not going to play this game at all. I'm just going to suffer, I guess, for 3.5 hours listening to Sims and Nance ruin another professional football game. I'll say this. It's funny that you took the approach you did with this game because I'd love to be on New England here, but I almost hear, like, maybe it's just the circles that we're running in or something or what we're reading. I've heard a lot of support for New England this week, and the fact they are starting – their third-string quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, who I actually kind of liked coming out of NC State, on a short week against a pretty good defense. I know it's all hail Belichick, but, man, that should count for something, shouldn't it? Rookie quarterback, short week, J.J. Watt. I'm laying off this one.
I hear you. I'm feeling very visceral about Houston right now. And as I say, I may have a few teenage rebellion picks this week. But that's one of them right there.
I hear you. I wound up going with Houston last week against Cam, not on the show, but afterwards, trust me, I did, but whatever. So I watched a good deal of that game with the Chiefs. Their defense is really good, man. I know Kansas City was down 2 starting offensive linemen, but, KC gained, 8 yards in the first quarter. I mean, Houston's defense can play, and they're more than just JJ.
Yeah, they can. They're very good. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We go to the Sunday games. It's the 2-0 Broncos at the 1-1 Bengals, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati on CBS. Former lounge guest Ian Eagle, along with Dan Fouts and Evan Washburn on the call. The odds makers are just giving it the, hey, we don't want to get involved here, Cincinnati -3 at home. So in looking at this, in perusing this, I feel again, too, I'm making a number of picks this week, and I understand this is dangerous. But on the macro of what I thought coming into the season and where I think that there's a little bit of overreaction thus far, okay, was I wrong about Denver being an 8-8 team? Apparently so. But you know what? Much like Houston, they're getting a lot of respect. They're getting a lot of strange new respect from people who just assume that they're going to keep getting the quarterback play they've been getting forever. Again, I don't think that in terms of the law of averages, I don't think the Cincinnati running game is going to be this bad forever. I think a few screen passes well-timed here to Gio Bernard can maybe help open things up a little bit on the ground. Give me Cincinnati laying the 3 against Denver.
I want to be with you, but Cincinnati entered this year as a play-against team for me just because they had that great ATS record last year. But Denver, I'm not convinced, despite the impressive start, that Denver won't kind of fall back to .500 this year. I still think there's a chance it could happen. I don't want to lay points against them with this defense, though.
Yeah.
Now, I know DeMarcus Ware is out, which is big. But I'm just staying away. This is a really hard game to call. I could see a 3-point game, to be honest. I know you always poo-poo that line when the odds makers do that, but I could really see this being a 3-point Cincinnati win, a late field goal. I expect a close, low-scoring game between two of the better teams in the AFC. I actually do think Cincinnati's going to, when all is said and done, will end up being the better team this season, but don't want to lay the points.
I think there's a decent chance of that as well. A lot of games this week where the lines make it really – really tough. That is the case in the next game here, certainly. The 1-1 Raiders at the 1-1 Titans. 1 o'clock Eastern time, Nissan Stadium in Nashville on CBS. Andrew Kettle on, Steve Tasker, Steve Berline on the call. This game opened as a pick, and you've presently got the Titans as a short home dog at -1.5. A line kind of similar to week one. Favorite. Similar to week one, where Oakland was a short dog on the road. And it's a tough call again because, again, The Raiders, if anything, have maybe even looked better offensively than people might have thought thus far this year, have certainly looked a lot worse defensively than anybody thought. I looked at this as a possibility potentially for Mariota and the Titans offense to get better, if you will, sort of a get-well game against this Oakland D. In the end, when I go against my gut feeling like that, it generally doesn't end well. But macro level, still believe in the Raiders this year. If I believe in the Raiders,
this is
a game they got to get.
You're doing right.
Well, that's the same thing I did week one with New Orleans. Say what you will about that. I'm going the same way in this one. Tennessee will be thwarted in their attempt to gain revenge for the 2002 AFC Championship game. Give me the Raiders getting the 1.5 on the road.
I'm going Titans. It's a recommendation, first one of the week. Sharp money here.
Okay.
The ticket count's pretty high on the Raiders, so it looks like it's sharp money that's taken the number from a pick to -1.5. Key here in breaking down this game is the defenses. You touched on the Raiders. They've been really, really bad defensively. They've given up 69 points and over 1,000 total yards so far. Now, they have played Atlanta and New Orleans. You know, kind of pretty good offensive teams, I suppose, still. But Tennessee's defense has only given up one offensive touchdown all year. Now they play Detroit and Minnesota. Okay, maybe you need to adjust their opponents a little bit there. Oakland did come in and win here in Tennessee last year. I don't see them doing it 2 years in a row. Early start time, West Coast team. And unlike you, if we go to the macro level, I'm not that high on the Raiders this year. So macro justifies the play on the Titans for me, too. I think they win and go to 2-1.
Okay. All right. Interesting. We diverge there. I suspect, given what I know of your methodology for this week, we won't diverge on the next game. It's the 2-0 Ravens at the 0-2 Jags, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Everbank Field in Jacksonville on CBS. Tom McCarthy, Adam Archuleta, Chris Fisher on the call for CBS. This is a game where it is now Baltimore -1.5, had been a pick at the open. So, again, a short road favorite in this case. With the Ravens, again, macro level, I have a hard time getting a feel on this game, but you know what? I couldn't have been that wrong about Jacksonville, could I? If they lose this one, and again, part of it is here too, I don't see the Ravens being 3-0. It's an 8-8 league. We're not going to see that much separation this year between the Ravens and the Jags. I still think the Jags could potentially pass the Ravens. I know I had them with a better record than them at the beginning of the year. Give me the Jags. I'm doubling down here. Not enough to make a big three play, but I'm on the Jags. Go ahead and join me on the ugly dog there, Kyle.
I am. Jags are a recommendation, absolutely. For, you know, I kind of have the same mentality. You 2-0 at 0-2. This is, you hate to say it in week three, but this one might be for the Jags season and could be for Gus Bradley's job, quite frankly. If he goes 0-3 with some of the hype this team was drawn, he may not make it to Wednesday. So, got to win this one. You know, Baltimore was pretty shaky last week against the bad Cleveland team. They fell down 20-0 before rallying. Jacksonville's not as bad as Cleveland. The Jags have played two pretty good teams so far, Green Bay and San Diego. The defense is a problem. Phillip Rivers whipped them, but I guess the defense is okay against Aaron Rodgers, although Green Bay's offense has some issues, it looks like. Maybe we'll touch on that later. I just think, same thing. I love what you said about it being an 8-8 league. Some teams just get a little lucky. Others don't. Jacksonville needs this game. I'm on them. Recommendation.
Well, I know from talking to you off air, we probably agree on this next game as well. Two real fugly teams here. It's the 0-2 Brownies at the 0-2 Dolphins. My 1-1A teams, by the way. So hashtag FML for me. 1 o'clock Eastern time, Hard Rock Stadium, Miami Gardens, Florida on CBS. Spiro Ditas and Solomon Wilcots have been sentenced by CBS to watch and to call this game. Miami opened at -6.5. It's up to -9.5. And again, the stand I'm about to take is fraught with a lot of danger here right now because I honestly believe this Browns team, again, unless they can steal one, they're headed for 0-16, and they're the worst team in the league since the 0-16 Lions. So it's hard for me to say that most teams shouldn't be laying them a lot of points. But I don't have that level of respect, to be sure, for these Miami Dolphins here. The notion that they're ready to just get up off the mat. By the way, USA Today Sports Weekly, which used to be very, very conservative in its predictions, very conservative, they've got somebody else doing the picks this year because they're taking risks left and right. They're saying Dolphins 27-7, and that's the consensus. I know that's the consensus everywhere because they're just going to blow the doors off the Browns. I see it being a real ugly field goal battle. Browns will probably backdoor this, and as they proved last week against Baltimore, nobody's a better penis puncher in this league than the Browns. A game that they should lose and not even cover, they find a way to screw you when you bet against them. The Browns, I'm warning everybody, will screw you if you bet against them this week. They're not going to win, but they're going to cover.
I'm completely with you. This reminds me of your very smart play on Tennessee last week against Detroit. I just don't think the favorite should be laying as many points to anybody. So I completely back up that rationale. You can still get some tens unless if something happened in the half hour before we went on the show. Last I looked, there were still some tens across the board for Cleveland. Obviously, the line adjustment, it's not just public money. It was the odds makers. Once it was announced Cody Kessler would be getting the start, we should be touched on that. It's pretty grim looking for Cleveland, isn't it? Coleman with the broken hand in practice. But, you know, I just, you know me, I really respect how you've come around to taking these ugly dogs when no one's giving them a chance. Yeah, give me Cleveland. It's a recommendation. In Miami, this is kind of a tricky spot for them, coming off back-to-back road games against Seattle and New England, two top teams. I could see them kind of just coming out sluggish against a team that they're supposed to beat. This has never been a well-coached team in the past. Yeah, and remember, that final score last week with New England was misleading for Miami. They were down big before the Garoppolo injury. So they made a game out of it late because New England went prevent. I think the Browns can put enough points on the board here to stay within the number.
I think they probably can, too. And, you know, that might be like 6 to 9 points with field goals just because Miami's offense is not too much to write home about either. Up next here, and this is another one where I predict that we will probably converge, it's the 0-2 Skins at the 2-0 Giants, 1 o'clock Eastern time at MetLife Stadium on Fox. The Fox A team of Buck Aikman and Aaron Andrews is on this game for whatever reason. The Giants are laying 4.5 up from 3.5 initially. And, again, you have to sort of look macro level. And while I did not pick the Redskins to win the division at the beginning of the year, I didn't pick them to be this bad. I think they're honestly at this point worse than they look. Part of it is expectation level, too, I got to say. I said that they would not win or cover last week against Dallas. So I'm not freaking out and losing my skull like the rest of God's green earth going, OMG, how did that game get away from them? It's a game that they shouldn't have won, people, and they didn't. This is one where, again, they're a live dog in this spot. The Giants have been better than we would have thought defensively, worse than we would have thought offensively. I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt for that because this offense still has to get in full gear. If they couldn't do it against the Saints, you know, the Redskins aren't much to write home about defensively so far, but they're sure as hell better than the Saints. Don't expect that the Giants are going to cruise. Redskins to cover and maybe win.
I don't disagree with anything you said, but I'm not playing this game because I, for one, was very high on the Giants this year. And, you know, the first 2 weeks, the math hasn't been necessarily always kind to yours truly, okay? There's some teams who I've been wrong on so far. Well, I don't think we've gotten any of them yet. But the Giants are one that the math has been right on. This is a team that was unlucky last year, and what have they done this year? Win two close games. Washington, I said they'd regress. You did too. Neither of us thought this was a playoff team. This was probably the worst of the playoff team last year, I think. So they were an obvious candidate to regress. Losing two home games, not a good start. And then having to go out on the division road, I could see them losing this one close. I don't know if they win this one outright. There's these reports that the team doesn't like Cousins anymore. It's getting pretty ugly there. You're right. Seeing the Redskins go to 0-3. Does seem kind of odd, but I'm just laying off here. The Giants should have won that game by more than a field goal. I don't know if you caught the end of it. They kneeled inside the five to kick the game-winning field goal. They should have won a touchdown. It was actually quite symptomatic of, you know, how I thought the Giants would rebound this year. They won a game that last year they would have lost. They returned a blocked kick for their only touchdown. So the math has been right on the Giants so far. I think they're on course to take the NFC East, like I said.
Well, Jay Gruden has really sort of been the ultimate survivor thus far in Washington. And again, they go 0-3, and it's going to be hard for him to really start to survive at this point. So I'm really looking macro level on that as well. Up next in the NFC North, it's the 1-1 Lions at the 1-1 Packers, 1 o'clock Eastern time at Lambeau in Green Bay. On Fox, Tom Brenneman, Charles Davis, and Peter Schrager on the call. Another brutally difficult game here because of the line. Green Bay opening up -8, went to 7.5. Now the consensus is pretty much 7. Tough game here. In the end, I'm looking for a get-well game from the Packers. I think that the Lions, you saw it last week. I said the Lions are a fraud. They let that one get away from them against Tennessee. The Lions haven't shown me enough. If they were showing me even a pulse at this point, I would blanch a bit perhaps at laying the 7 points here for Green Bay. It's not going to be a big three pick for me because I don't feel that confident, and I don't feel that confident in hardly any of my picks this week. But gun to my head, I make picks on all these games. Give me the Packers laying the 7 in a classic potential get-well spot.
Much like Barack Obama, I want to take away your guns, as you know. So there is no gun to my head right now. And I'm not picking this game. Division dogs of more than a touchdown, usually pretty tempting for me. But there is the matter that Green Bay is off the outright loss. People question the offense. I'll be honest with you. What a frustrating performance that was by Aaron Rodgers and company last week. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. This Green Bay offense doesn't look very good, quite frankly. And I don't know. I'm not going to overreact to it yet. But, man, there was just no signs of life out of that group. That being said, I could see this being a close game. Green Bay will win. Maybe you tease this one, you tease this one with something else and just kind of call for Green Bay to win straight up might be the way to go.
That seems pretty much a gimme if you can find even one other game you'll like that much. Who knows if this next one will be one of them, but it's the 2-0 Vikings at the 1-1 Panthers, 1 o'clock Eastern time. From Obama-held out Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte on Fox, Chris
it
Myers, Rondé Barber, and past lounge guest Jennifer Hale on the call.
No, not the Obama thing. I'm saying this would be a good game to tease with the Green Bay game, I think, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it could possibly be because it's a line of 7 points presently. Carolina opened up laying 6.5, and again, you got to think a good part of the reason for the bulk in the line here is the loss of Adrian Peterson. However, the always underrated Ronnie Hillman signed off the street here by the Vikings. He could very well get some opportunities to play in this one here. In the end, it's not quite a why ask why for me because I understand why the line is where it is because of public perception and everything like that. But again, you saw it last week with Carolina. They can be really, really deadly when they're kind of honed in, albeit they're not going to be able to punk the mini-D like they did to San Francisco. But for a team that's still kind of finding its footing a little bit through games this season, 7 points seems like too much against a team that's still a live dog, particularly the way that Sam Bradford is looking in the early going here. No more bend and grab your ankles, Sean Hill. They've got an actual quarterback in there who is showing that perhaps it was a steal to get him from Philadelphia based on what he's doing thus far. Give me the Vikings getting the 7 on the road.
I don't like this game at all. These are two teams that, quite frankly, were go-against teams for me this year. I have them both regressing. The Vikings have made me look a little silly with this 2-0 start, kind of winning some ugly ones over Tennessee and Green Bay. They did not score an offensive touchdown in that win over Tennessee. You referenced Sam Bradford, and a lot of people are giving him credit, and I'll say he played better than I expected last week. But you know who the real key is to this Minnesota offense? Because I watched pretty much the whole game. Was this Stephon Diggs. What a steal he was looking like. My goodness, what a receiver. I'm laying off.
Well, it looked good.
I would say I think Carolina does win this game straight up. So, yeah, a Carolina-Green Bay teaser may not be the worst idea. That's a pretty square call by me, but, I see them both winning the game straight up.
Yeah, that's a very good combo, actually, I would think. Up next, a game that had been part of what looked like the rivalry of the 2010s until San Francisco decided to let Captain 2% Milk get away. It's the 1-1 49ers at the 1-1 Seahawks, 4 o'clock Eastern time, CenturyLink Field in Seattle on Fox. Kevin Burkhardt, John Lynch, and the delicious Pam Oliver on the call in this one here. Seattle is laying 9.5 down from 10.5 initially. And, again, I referenced this in regard to the Browns when I talk about them having a historically bad defense, potentially being a historically bad team. Seattle thus far showing signs through 2 weeks. You want to talk about why are they where they're at as far as their offensive struggles go. A historically bad offensive line thus far during the season. And this just in, that's not a small detail in this league. Nonetheless, same kind of thing applies with Green Bay. I'm going with them in a get-well spot for the contempt that I have for the 49ers. Yeah, they lucked out opening night like they did last year, but good luck the rest of the way here. Seattle, again, is it going to be covering the 9.5, you know, like 44-3? Probably not. But at least 20-10, they're a lot weaker than I think they are if they can't pull that one off. Give me the Seahawks.
Again, division dogs are more than a touchdown. Tempting. But Seattle's off the outright loss. They're one of those teams that typically do bounce back from games like that. You referenced this offensive line. This Max Unger for Jimmy Graham trade is looking like one of the worst in NFL history. I mean, Jimmy Graham? I mean, did this guy even make the flight to Seattle? Is he on the team? Jimmy Graham? I mean, is this guy alive? I mean, it's bad. I mean, seriously, I watch a lot of the Seahawks games every week. I never hear his name called, you know, until, like, the announcers are referencing, oh, remember when they traded for Jimmy Graham? You know, we'd like to see him. One thing that's got me, would have me a little bit scared about laying the point with Seattle is they have covered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 straight times against San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat them 5 straight in a row. So, you know, this is a lot of points. It's interesting that the number has come down a little bit. That actually scares me. The ticket count is higher on the Niners here. So a lot of reasons to be scared of both sides in this one. I'm staying away.
Okay. Yeah, that's a real tough one. So
consider
that
this.
That game, a rematch. Yeah.
Seattle scored the one touchdown this year against Miami on the last drive or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and now they're being asked to lay 9.5 points, a team that has scored 15 points all year.
Unless it's asking a lot, no question.
I mean, the defenses look really good, but, man, Russell Wilson, if this ankle is bad, oof, I don't know. This team's going to struggle to score points.
Well, the schedule makers were mischievous this week in terms of historical rematches. We go from a rematch of the 2013 NFC Championship game to a rematch of the 1979 NFC Championship game, as well as the 1999 NFC Championship game. It's the 1-1 Rams versus the 1-1 Bucks, 4:05 Eastern Time at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa on Fox. Dick Stockton, Chris Spielman, Christina Pink on the call. Tampa is laying 5.5 up from 3.5 initially. Both of these teams have looked alternatively moderately decent to outright shite through two games thus far. And, you know, that's been the spectrum, quite frankly. And you look at it, and this is one of these ones. This is a why ask why for me, an outright one, because the Rams have been a real good matchup for Tampa Bay the last couple of years. Have kind of had their way with them by and large. And the line is now Tampa laying 5.5 at home. Again, you know, you'll bring up things like, well, the Rams are going to the East Coast. Yeah, but Joe Blow better isn't that sophisticated as to pump up the line that much because of that. I don't understand at all why Tampa Bay is laying the number of points that they are. Give me the Bucks. Any time a line is that whack in my mind, I'm going the other way. I'm on the Bucks.
Don't you mock me in that tone, you son of a bitch. First of all, this line move is, believe it or not, a little inconsequential. 5.5 is a dead number. So,
okay.
I don't think the line, if you like the Bucks at -3.5, there's really no reason not to like them at -5.5. You talked about the history between these two teams. The Rams have beaten them each of the last 4 years and covered the spread in each of those games.
Yep.
You know, this is Tampa's home opener as well. I'm going to chicken out, though, and not play. Because, you know, they've been, you know, you called it, what was the spectrum you said? Mediocre to shite or something like that?
Yeah.
I just call it Jekyll and Hyde for both of them. You know, you've had them both look real good one week and just, you know, obviously, like you said, horrible the other. So, you know, the Rams, and what, they scored 9 points this year? No touchdowns?
Yep.
And they're not starting Jared Goff still.
Well,
I don't like that.
That's the stash for you. No.
Yeah, I don't like
he's not a good
third
coach.
Third best coach in the league.
This yeah. Not even the third best coach in the NFC West. Up next, again, the mischievous schedule makers, showing a little bit of AFL nostalgia here, awakening some memories from the 60s. It's the 1-1 Jets at the 1-1 Chiefs, 4:25 Eastern Time from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City on CBS. Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, Jamie Erdahl on the call for this one. Kansas City is laying the standard issue generic 3 points at home, had been 3.5 initially. And, again, tough one, went back and forth a little bit, but I got to go to, again, sort of macro level. I have a lot of regard for Kansas City. I don't have, quite frankly, that much regard for the Jets. I think we saw what might go down as being the high water mark of them against a very sorry-ass Bills team last week. I know they've had the 3 extra days to prepare, but, yeah, again, when you're scoring 31 points and giving up 37, it's not the OC that should be fired. But then again, you can't fire your brother. The Bills, doing that against them doesn't prove a lot to me, quite frankly. You know what I mean? I'm not as impressed by what the Jets have done as some people, although this offense is looking pretty good at this point. I'm on Kansas City laying the 3 points here at home. Already it seems to be do-or-die team for them. Do-or-die time, I think they're going to rise up.
Yeah, I'm with you. Believe it or not, I'm going to recommend the Chiefs. Kind of shaky. This is going to be the shakiest
okay.
of my, I think, 6 recommendations going to end up being here. Jets win back-to-back road games? I don't think so. The money line ticket count really high on the Jets. There's more people betting the Jets on the spread than the Chiefs. You don't often see that with the underdog. You know, maybe a sleepy late start for the Jets. I think a lot too much will be made of that extra rest. There are legitimate concerns with Kansas City. The offensive line is hurt. The defense is missing key contributors. But at the end of the day, I had both of these teams regressing this year, okay? Unlike you. I thought the Chiefs would regress as well. But I still think the Chiefs are better than the Jets, even after factoring the regression. So I'll lay the 3 here. Cautiously.
Okay.
This is my one that I feel the queasiest about, my recommendations.
I got a recommendation where I'm pretty queasy, and I'm sure you'll tell me why, but we're not at that point. Yeah, we go to the Sunday nighter. It's the 0-2 Bears at the 1-1 Cowboys, 8:30 Eastern time from AT&T Stadium on NBC. Michaels, Collinsworth, and Tafoya on the call. Dallas is laying 7 up from 4 initially. Questions, again, about the status of Jay Cutler going into this one. This is, in a way, this is similar to me when I look at the Miami-Cleveland game and I'm looking at the line.
Oh, yeah.
Dallas is better than Miami, and that's not saying much. They're better than Miami, but they're inflated after winning last week. And we should be quite cautious, Kyle Ross, before pronouncing Cowboys 7 points better than anybody in this league. I'm not at that point. Give me the Bears getting 7.
Love where your head's at this year. I hope it brings you better results. We go into these. I'm with you. I agree. The Bears are a recommendation. 0-2 team, getting points, getting 7.5. I think you could take advantage of the public's overreaction to the likely QB change. Dallas is always a public team. They're off a straight-up dog win, while the Bears are off an outright home loss as favorites. What an ugly performance that was Monday night. So, you know, I would actually wait to bet this one because it's the night game. So if you're listening, wait as long as you can. Maybe even, like, you know, don't even bet it until, like, right before kickoff, because I think this number is going to keep going up. People are going to look at it. They're going to be, you know, you got those people chasing after losing a 4 o'clock game. They're going to remember how awful the Bears looked on Monday. I think you're going to be able to get even more points by kickoff here. But I'm comfortable taking more than a score with Dallas. I think Dallas wins a close game.
Well, not only that, let us not forget that Chicago, we don't say this about many teams, Chicago has the road field advantage in this game.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I was actually at I think this was the last NFL game I was at live. Was the Bears at the Cowboys. It was a Monday night game about 4 years ago at this point. So it shows you how much I love the NFL live experience with Roger Goodell. And the Bears went in there with a ton of crowd support and waxed the Cowboys. That was one of, as much as I hate to say it, those patented Tony Romo games where he throws like 800 interceptions and everyone's booing at halftime.
Yeah, well, that was, in other words, your typical effort that you see out of them. But we go to the Monday Nighter here from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans, 8:30 Eastern time on ESPN. The 1-1 Falcons at the 0-2 Saints, a game that should suffer in the ratings for counter-programming, not just the Clash of Champions go-home show, but also the debate of the century. So it'll be interesting to see the numbers on this one afterwards. Sean McDonough, John Gruden, Lisa Salters on the call. No more putting on the guy from Desportes on there to mangle all the stuff like he did last week. New Orleans is laying the standard issue 3 points at
home.
Down from 3.5 initially. And, again, this is one where – remember I talked before about USA Today Sports Weekly and that this year they've got – you know, whoever's making their picks really has a lot of balls, even if he's going with conventional wisdom on this. Well, when you look at, again, a game where the Saints are going to be very, very much fired up, 10th anniversary of some big, you know, post-Hurricane Katrina game and blah, 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 all this kind of stuff they're going to have going for them. USA Today Sports Weekly says Saints 23-3. And this is one of these things where
what?
It really seems like when you look at it, like people are kind
what?
Of thinking, you know, if
the
Saints
are
allowed to
hold
win
a team
one,
3 points.
That's what USA Today Sports Weekly is picking. And this is one of these things, and they lay out a pretty convincing case, but I'm looking at this going, yeah, you know, this is one of these things. Everybody is probably looking at, again, you know, the Saints' history in Monday night games, going to be fired up for this one, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of things that are going, quite frankly, in their favor. But I'm on Atlanta. I have a better feeling right now about the Falcons. I said they would go into Oakland and cover last week. I said it was a make-or-break game already for Matty Ice, and he came through exactly as I anticipated. This is a spot where I think a lot of people are probably going to be buying what USA Today Sports Weekly is selling. I'm not one of them. Give me the Falcons getting the 3 on the road Monday night.
I don't like this game at all. It's tough because the Monday night game, I usually got to do something when the time Monday comes around. I mean, there's two teams. Pick one, right? Is advice that was once given to me. I would probably lean Falcons. The Saints swept the Falcons last year, so a little double revenge for Hot Atlanta. And New Orleans laying points doesn't seem like a good idea. They're not a good team. But no recommendation here for me.
No, they're not. And again, a game that they potentially let get away against the Giants, that if they'd been sharper offensively, the game was theirs for the taking. Bad teams don't win games like that. They're a bad team, and I'm not ready to – yeah.
One, it's you mock the Deportes guy, but you erroneously referred to Monday night as the Clash of Champions go-home show. It will actually be night after Clash
Isn't
of
it?
Champions.
Night after show.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yes. Ricky O.
I don't know if that quite puts me on a par with Bumblebeans Rodriguez there for all of this.
Oh, no, come on. That's not a line,
week.
And you know it is. Immediately strike that from the record. Number two, you know, you made fun of me last week. You know, I heard your little snide thing, and I didn't get a chance because we were running low on time last week with the Saints. I talked about the Saints, how, when they're outdoors, they don't do anything. You're like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's September. We're a big deal. They scored 16 points against the Giants.
Well, I'm a little bit selective in how I make my plays here and there. So we go to the big three plays for this week here.
Rodriguez, that is hideous.
Well, the guy was just brutal. The guy was just, he was on there for their whole, salute the Hispanic Month thing. And it was, I would say, a disservice to the community, quite frankly, the way that he was failing to get things right all night long here. So next time ESPN, maybe do a little bit more quality control on who you decide to put out there. But speaking of quality, it's time for the beans for whatever reason. I don't know. I was just coming up with the most random name I could off the top of my head. Chargers 1-1 at the Colts 0-2, 4:25 Eastern Time from Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis on CBS. Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon on the call. And this is one where Indianapolis is laying 2.5 down from 3 initially. The odds makers taking the usual don't make me take a stand, man, thing until they moved it to 2.5. This is one where, again, you were ahead of me on this one, albeit not as far ahead as you might like to think. I don't think San Diego is a playoff team, and that's even before their injuries on offense. But San Diego, credit to you, better than I thought. The better team, undeniably, here is getting points in this one, so I don't really care who's on the road. Give me the Chargers getting the 2.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'll recommend it. What the hell?
Okay.
There's each of the first 2 weeks we've seen the odds makers come off the key number of 3 and go to 2.5. That's significant.
Mm-hmm.
That's significant. Week 1, Tampa outright over Atlanta, getting 2.5. Last week, Dallas moved to 2.5 off 3, beat Washington outright. Could it be 3 in a row? I think so. San Diego, much better defense than Indianapolis.
Yes, they are, and that's not even close. The next one up is the one that, again, I'm queasy at. I know you're going to pick this one apart left and right. The ones that seem like they're too easy are always the ones that kind of bite you, but it's the 1-1 Cardinals at the 0-2 Bills, 1 o'clock Eastern time from SmackDown is the new Era Field in Orchard Park, New York on Fox. Five-time lounge guest Kenny Albert, Daryl Moose Johnston, and the lovely Tandwara Oakman on the call. Arizona is laying 3.5 in this one, down from 5 initially, and there was a point last week where I texted you and said, this is why people think the NFL is fixed, because there were so many things happening where you just look at it, you throw your hands up in the air, and you say, science is dead. And that may be the case again here this week. If the Bills cover this game, science is officially dead. But until somebody fails on administering the last CPR, I'll believe that there's a tiny breath of life left in science and that you can anticipate outcomes truthfully. Thus, the Cardinals will trounce the now hapless Bills.
On the other side, this is going to be one of those classic pros versus Joes games, they're called, kind of demeaningly on Twitter. I'm going to go with Buffalo. They just look like the sharp side here. You're right. I mean, if you look at this in standard football ways, Arizona's clearly the better team. But if you look at, you know, line movement, it is a huge ticket count on Arizona, yet the lines come down. I mean, that just always signals to me something. It's one of those games that I've just kind of learned through the years. That makes no sense. Just go with it. Give me the Bills. Recommendation, plus 3.5. 0-2 team getting points.
All right, and up to the finale. The Battle of Pennsylvania, the 2-0 Squealers at the 2-0 Eagles, 4:25 Eastern time from the link in Philadelphia on CBS, the A-team of Nance, Sims, and Wolfson on the call for this one. Pittsburgh is laying 3.5 down from 5 initially. And, again, I'm bookending this week with my Teenage Rebellion picks. You can't make me believe that the Eagles are as good as they've looked through 2 weeks. You can't do it. I understand the rest of the pablum puking public is out there just gargling the Kool-Aid. Yeah, are they a little better than I thought? Maybe. But they're still not a very good team. Give me the Squealers on the road here. Short road trip, whatever. I'm on Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's a really good team. Certainly much better than the Browns and Bears, who are
yes.
The first two Eagles opponents. I hope the Steelers win this game, because if the Eagles do, then they will have matched my projected win total for them in 2016. And that's not good.
You ready to join me down with a pick on this one?
No, I'm not. No, because I'll never take a road favorite. But I hope you're right. I'll root for
okay.
you.
All right.
I'll be honest with you. As much as I like you, I very rarely root for your lock pick because I usually don't like it. But, I'll root for you here.
Road favorite Ricky. Well, I'll get you over to the dark side on one of the ones here at some point. So your picks for this week are Tennessee, Kansas City, San Diego, Chicago, Cleveland, and Jacksonville, and Buffalo. That's a lot of them. I've got Arizona,
yep.
San Diego as part of my big three, along with my 1,000-star gold plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 3, Pittsburgh. So another interesting slate, Kyle. Again, I hate this slate of games this week. I have no feel for it. I had no feel last week and went 7-9, which is like a huge triumph given my degree of certainty on the game. So maybe this doesn't bode as ill as I think it will, but I don't know. It will be a fun and interesting slate, even if I have no grip on it whatsoever.
Okay. you know, I'm firing, man. I got a ton of picks, and we'll see. I usually don't give out that many here. When you listed all those, I was like, oh boy, during the show, I was just like, ah, fuck it, let's go. This is my fuck it, let's go with them week, I guess.
Special occasion to do this show with you, Kyle Ross. Mini episode number 760. That has a precious place in my heart. 760, my highest three-game bowling series ever, sanctioned series anyway. So a sacrosanct number in the heart of Rick Morris. Glad to share this number and this mini episode with you, my friend.
Wow. To quote Kevin Nash, it would be an honor. You know, there we go. Or was that him quoting Arn Anderson? I forget.
That's him mocking Arn Anderson. So
yeah, it is.
On that note about the greatest sport of them all, we say thank you for joining us for mini episode 760 and enjoy NFL Week 3 along with us.